Puggerty.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Oh man, have you ever had a lithium ion battery in a laptop expand?
I believe that I actually have.
Have you?
It's the freakiest thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. We had that happen to one of the laptops here at Annex.
Oh,
I
man.
came into the office and there's this computer sitting on Steven's desk. And, it's just a regular laptop. At first, I thought it was just our technical director's because he sometimes leaves stuff here. And I noticed that the trackpad is kind of popping out of place. I'm like, well, that's funny. It's just, he must have dropped it or something. That was on Monday. And yesterday, after nobody coming to retrieve it and it looking like it's getting worse, I'm thinking, huh. I wonder if that computer is about to explode.
Oh my God.
So I text the TD here at Annex, and I'm like, is this your laptop with the battery that's about to explode? And he's like, no, that's the old booth computer. I just reinstalled a hard drive in. Wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's And so I texted him a picture of it, and he's like, oh Jesus! But he's like out of town or something, and so. He couldn't do anything about it in the moment, and I'm like, am I just sitting behind a laptop that's about to? Because I see these videos online of stuff exploding, right? Usually it's when like somebody punctures the battery in their iPhone, and so I'm like, I don't know what to do with this, so I'm like, I'm just gonna take it to the Apple store, and I try to make a Genius appointment. And the next appointment I can make at the Genius Bar in the University Village Apple Store is a week from yesterday at like 7 o'clock at night. So I'm like, okay, screw that. So I put a call out on Facebook. I'm like, what do I do here, tech friends? And one of my friends said, hey, I took mine. The exact same thing happened to my laptop, and I took it to the Apple Store. And they said, take it to this independent shop in the U District. And so that's what I did. I took this laptop in a camera case. I took, because I didn't know if it was going to blow up on me, so I just put it inside this like Pelican case, and very gingerly, and took it to this computer repair shop in the University District. And yeah, they fixed it in like 2 hours. The dude said that when he popped the case open, the battery expanded. Like the case itself was keeping the battery from getting bigger, and so once he screwed it, it just like popped. It didn't like ex break or anything, but it expanded like a Jiffy Pop bag, and
Or like one of those snakes.
yeah, exactly, and yeah. So they fix it, and now I feel very accomplished because I did something productive today.
Hey, well that's good. That's really
Yeah.
good.
So now it's currently sitting on my desk. It's going to be used as the box office computer for the theater here.
Nice.
But now I'm just loading High Sierra onto it. So but
Yeah,
yeah, for a
but
while there I thought I was going to have an exploding laptop on my hands.
what you've described is very much the same sort of mental process that I went through when I saw it. I don't remember if it was at work or what, but at first it's like, huh, the case is weird.
Yeah.
The case isn't fitting right. That's odd. And then you realize, oh, it's probably the battery thing.
Yeah, I didn't. It took me like 3 days to realize what was going on. Now, this isn't my laptop. I don't. It was just sitting on a desk
Yeah, of
behind me, so
course.
I wasn't trying to use it or anything. But I'm like,
Still,
yeah.
though.
It finally dawned on me. Interesting. This
Well, that's
computer's in a bad
crazy.
way. But I learned something very important. Do you know what I learned? So this used to be the booth computer here at Annex, and it was constantly plugged in and constantly attached to power because you don't want the booth computer to run out of power in the middle of a show. Well, that is
Right.
not very healthy for these lithium ion batteries in MacBook Pros. They are meant to be unplugged. So yeah, the guy at the repair shop is like, leave it in when you can plug it in while you're using it. That doesn't matter. But after 2, 3 hours of not using it, unplug it. So.
Again, if nothing else comes of this podcast, which now has 102 episodes, am I
Yeah,
right? Am
this
I
is
close?
number 102.
Yeah, 102 episodes. If nothing else, we've accomplished one thing. Getting the word out to people to unplug their MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
When they're not in use.
Exactly.
So I don't know if you've been following me on my Twitter feed. I had mentioned this, but I had someone who was a big fan of Giraffe and Elephant comics back when I was on LiveJournal, and they've followed me, you know, over to Twitter.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, I've finally got enough money to purchase items that my friends have. Where can I get your Giraffe and Elephant books? And I was like, oh, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever. And she's like, wow, that's weird. I can't find them anywhere.
Uh-oh.
And I looked, and yeah, the only copies of any of my books you can find now. Well, I take that back. The only copies of my Giraffe and Elephant books that you can find, the ones that were published by Disney, are used copies.
Really?
They are not distributing them anymore. And I knew that the first one got taken out of circulation. When Elephant Met Giraffe was the one that was in circulation. A surprise for Giraffe and Elephant was the one that was taken out.
Okay.
But yeah, apparently, eventually, at some point in time, I might get a note from them saying, hey, do you want to buy the rest of your books?
Oh.
Or whatever, because they seem like they're gone. It's just kind of sad.
That is sad.
But a very large book of Giraffe and Elephants, which is on-demand publishing by CreateSpace and Amazon, still available. So that's interesting.
And so Disney allows you to sell other Giraffe and Elephant books?
Well, that's Giraffe and Elephants Are Friends, and it was actually published before When Elephant Met Giraffe.
Right.
Now there are a couple of things about that. One is I'm using the ISBN that was out before, and I can't alter the book, so I can't update it. I can't do anything. And also, just to be on the safe side, I'm selling it for $30.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to get popular or anything, so it should be fine.
Now, is this a collection of the comics that you drew?
That's right.
The daily comic?
Yep. And the thing is, the reason that I found it is because the daily comics, I don't have them anymore.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah. I used to have them on on discs, and I can't find the discs anymore. I don't know where they are. So this hard copy is the only thing that exists from it now.
Well, they were hosted on KMO's website, right? Would he have a copy?
Yeah, at one point in time, KMO had hosted them. I don't know if he still does. And also, I continued past that. So
right.
So the best ones are in this book, so I don't feel too bad about it. And I have a PDF of the book, so that's... It's all okay.
Yeah.
But still, it made me very frustrated for a while to not have them. As
I bet.
You can probably imagine. Yeah. Same thing with Super Rocket Monkey. Lots of them are gone now. I don't know where they are. But again, Super Rocket Monkey, not as... I don't know. Something about the broken English of Super Rocket Monkey doesn't necessarily age well for me. So I'm not feeling as bad, but I do.
Super Rocket Monkey was very true to life at one point. And
yeah,
so
yeah,
that
it
might
totally
not
was.
Be a period of your life you'll want to go back in and revisit all the time.
Exactly. So the big thing though, I'm thinking I maybe do want to do a cartoon at some point in time again, but before I do that, I've still got, you know, the audio editing stuff has to happen, and this is the big one. I want to finish my young adult novel before, and it's, you know, it's sort of a young adult novel, sort of, you know, for other people too, I guess. But yeah. I want to finish it before my birthday so that I can tell people to buy it.
Right.
As a birthday gift to me, which I think will be fun.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But in other news, my taxes almost done.
Oh, yeah?
I really got to jump on them, but I'm still waiting for one of the forms to be released.
Are your taxes pretty complicated?
You know, they're not as complicated as they used to be when I owned a house, but they're still, right. you know, a little bit complicated. We sold some, I transferred some money from one thing to another thing.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff. So a little bit complicated, but not too complicated, which is how I like it. So how have things been other than that expanded battery?
Not too bad. It's we're still in rehearsals for the next Sergeant Rigsby show, Bury Me Under I-5.
Ah, yes. Wait. Did you do a Sergeant Rigsby show and then there's another one? Is that
no? It's probably the same one.
Okay,
that I've been talking about.
That's great. What's it called again?
It's called Bury Me Under I-5. It's one of those stories where. It deals a lot with homelessness in Seattle.
Yes.
And so it's like, you know, we go to rehearsal in the International District and we're walking by all these people sleeping in alleyways and not helping. And then we go and we do this puppet show about how terrible it is to be homeless in Seattle.
Yes. Well, you are helping. Just not directly.
We're not helping.
Which
well,
I think
mean,
is
Scott,
okay.
Scott will give, not everybody, but, you know, if somebody asks, Scott will give out a dollar or two. And he always carries a package of clean, dry socks, like a new package of socks in his bag.
Nice.
And so when somebody asks for money, if he doesn't have any, he'll say, do you want some new socks? And generally, they take it.
Were you around when I traded shirts with that one guy?
Yes, I was around for that.
Yeah, because I mentioned it at work, and it was amazing, the reaction that they were like, what?
They probably had the same reaction that all of us had when you were doing that in the moment. It's like, why are you, don't know, don't wear that guy's shirt.
Did I actually put it on? They asked me if I washed it.
You didn't put it on bare skin. You were wearing another shirt underneath it. So okay. it's not like that guy's, you know, t-shirt was immediately touching you, but yeah, you did wear it. I can't remember. You were wearing like a Green Lantern shirt or something.
See, okay. Yeah. You've got it. This is the story. He saw my Green Lantern shirt and he explained to me that he was Green Lantern.
Right.
And he explained to me again that he didn't actually think that he was Green Lantern, but that was the guy that he always was.
Yeah.
When he was doing superhero stuff. And then he said, you know, but I do some kind of superhero stuff. And he pointed to the top of one of the cranes and he said, I slept up there last night. And, you know, I don't know how truthful that was, but it seemed cool to me. And he seemed like an okay guy.
He did not seem threatening.
What's that?
He did not seem threatening.
No, not at all. And I believe that I was the one who came up with the idea of trading shirts.
Yeah.
I want to say that he did not put me up to it. It was like, I think what it was is I was going to give him my Green Lantern shirt.
Right.
And then he thought that was cool. And then he gave me his shirt. I remember I kept that for a while. I believe it was either a pig eating another pig or a pig on a motorcycle.
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you remembered what was on that shirt.
Yeah, I think it was a pig on a motorcycle, I want to say. But I'm so intrigued with pigs eating other pigs in commercials and cartoons and stuff.
I know.
That I think I kind of mashed those two together.
There's a mascot for a restaurant. I think I saw this in a book one somewhere where it's like a pig. Of course, he's pantsless, but he's wearing like a chef's hat. And
yes.
He's got a butcher knife and he's carving into himself.
Oh my gosh, that takes it to another level. I mean, because I remember, you know, you've got the pig who's cooking some bacon in a pan or whatever, but right. actually carving into himself.
Yeah.
That's
with a big ass smile on his face.
Did we talk already about Blade Runner 2049?
No, but I finally saw it. We can talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay. So, first of all, what'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
The opening scene, Oh yeah, Blade Runner 2049 spoilers.
Yeah,
spoilers. Had I think his name is Dave Bautista. I want to say is that right?
Yes. So here's the thing. I know that Dave Bautista is in that movie, but I don't remember if he was that dude in the beginning.
He was that dude in the beginning.
Okay.
I just didn't know if the name was right. The guy who plays Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, same dude. I was really impressed with his, because when he plays Drax, you know, Drax is a, you know, funny guy kind of. It's easy to be a good Drax in some ways. You know what I mean? It's a sort of one type of delivery and stuff like that.
Right.
So if you're good at that, then, and he was really funny in that. That's one thing. But in Blade Runner 2049, his performance in that scene, I thought was really great.
Yeah.
And like he's doing like actual acting stuff.
Maybe that's why Denis Villeneuve cast him. I read that opening scene was originally written for the original Blade Runner to set up that Deckard was a Blade Runner, but it was eventually cut and Ridley Scott opted to introduce Deckard in the noodle eating scene.
Ah, yes. That we all know as a retired Blade Runner.
Yes. Retired Blade Runner.
Getting back in for one more job.
Yes,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that I watched it because Blair had never seen the original Blade Runner. So last Saturday, we watched both of them back to back. And that's 5.5 hours of Blade Runner.
and hey, you know, that's a spicy Blade Runner. Yeah. I didn't do the accent. And it wouldn't have made sense anyway. But yeah, that's a big hunk of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
That's a big hunk of Blade Runner right there.
How did that work out? Did they flow into each other all right?
No, well, not really, because Denis Villeneuve's the director of Blade Runner said in an interview that he didn't want to do it unless he could make it a standalone film, right? It's not it's not specifically a sequel. I mean, you know, it is, but it's not you need to see the first Blade Runner to get what's going on.
Right, and I did not really miss Harrison Ford. That was the other thing.
Who doesn't appear until like an hour and a half into the film?
Right, exactly. And even then, he's... I mean, it's one of those things where he is no longer the hero. He's a guy who's in it. Oh my gosh. This reminds me, and we'll get back to Blade Runner 2049 because there's more I want to talk about. But I just remembered Betty went to like a site that had like the stupidest sites on the net or whatever.
Okay.
And one of them was it was FON.ZE or something like that.
Fonzie?
It's spelled out Fonz.
Yeah.
Or Fonzie. One of the two.
Whatever.
And she goes, yeah, it's crazy because you type it in and it's just a picture of some guy. And I was like, right.
What?
Fonzie means nothing to her.
Oh, so
she's seeing him as just a person because leather jackets don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's just a picture of some guy. I thought that was crazy, but kind of cool.
So it's just a picture of Henry Winkler?
Yeah, well, it's a picture of the Fonz.
The Fonz, yeah.
You know,
who's
Henry Winkler? It is Henry. Yes, it is Henry Winkler. Right, but like in his Fonz character.
Yes, yes.
The Fonz. Yes. So
2049, or as you say, 2049.
Can you guess what my favorite scene in the movie is?
Oh my God. What your favorite scene in the movie is.
Yes.
Is it when Ryan Gosling's character, whose name is a serial number, Joe, I guess they called him Joe later on in the film. Is it when he's just sitting reciting the mantra?
Yes. I knew it. I knew you would know it. Yes, Ben. It's the baselining scene.
The baseline. I was trying to remember the name for it, yeah.
I thought that was so great. that was, they did it such a, in such a great, like, kind of way. And apparently it's an acting technique.
It is an acting technique.
Or an acting game.
Yeah.
My question, have you ever done it? Have you,
No, I didn't know it was an acting technique until I read the trivia section on the movie's IMDb page, and Ryan Gosling brought that to the movie.
Yes. Jennifer said that it was, she thinks it's Meisner.
Yeah, I never studied Meisner, even though there's a lot of Meisner in this town.
Yeah. So anyway, I really liked that part. I thought it was great. And just all around, good stuff.
What did you think about the CGI Rachel? Was it too much? Was it the uncanny valley for you, or did it look realistic?
When was Rachel CGI?
Wallace's character had Deckard in the woodroom.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I thought they did a good job. They didn't overplay it.
No, it was subtle. It was, I mean, because I knew it was all CG, I couldn't help but think that it was just fake looking, even though they did a really good job. It was one of the, it's like when you see Tarkin in Rogue One.
Well, see, and that was the thing is that Tarkin and Leia, right, in Rogue One?
Yeah.
Too much. They had them do a lot and stuff like that. And that's why I guess I thought the Rachel was much better, because it was less pronounced.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk about this thing, because this is a good segue into it. I don't think I've talked to you about it, but I'm going to mention there are two technologies came out about a week ago, I want to say. Or at least I read about them a week ago. I think it might have actually been on Wednesday of last, because
Blu-ray.
We didn't talk about it.
Finally
What's
read
that?
About it. It's called Blu-ray. I finally read about it last week.
Oh yeah, it's interesting. No, so there's one thing called Lyrebird, and what Lyrebird is you go onto their site, you recite from 30 to 300 different phrases, depending on how many you want to do. And then it will recreate a sort of bad robot sounding version of your voice.
I'd never heard of that.
It's not bad.
How do they spell liar? And,
L-Y-R-E.
Lyrebird.
Lyrebird.
Okay.
So I did it.
Yeah.
And it sounds enough like me that it's kind of cool, but not enough like me that I got really scared. If that
you didn't
makes
think
sense.
It was going to pretend to be you,
or right. could possibly. At least not yet.
Yeah,
but
give it
but
time.
The thing is that so three technologies basically that then there was this thing called deep fakes, which is a subreddit that this guy made, where he took porn videos and used AI mapping to put actresses' faces on them in a way that was more realistic than normal. And I thought about these two technologies together, right? And I realized that they're both in their infant stages right now.
Right.
But in like 2 years or so, there will be a way to recast movies.
Hang on a sec. What's the name of the subreddit where this guy, of course it's a guy, was able to do that?
I think it's Deep Fakes.
Deep Fakes?
D-E-E-P Fakes, yeah.
Oh, Fakes.
And somebody made an app for it, I believe, also. But it wasn't the guy who originated the thing.
I think in 2 years, maybe less, you will be able to recreate movies. But using this technology where you can put different people's faces on different actors and actresses and synthesize their voice.
Yeah.
Come on. You know what that's going to be mostly used for.
Not paying actors and actresses for doing work? I'm kidding. And of course, yes, also. Because here's the thing that I was thinking about. You remember we were talking about latent space? Where after a while, once the computer like figures out, okay, this is what a man's face looks like, this is how they generate stuff.
Yeah.
There will be an actor that they'll use for movies that isn't quite Harrison Ford and isn't quite Ryan Gosling. He's like a weird in-between Harrison Ford, Ryan Gosling. So they don't have to pay either of them for using their face. Eventually.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. All you just type in the script and you put it in and then you have a movie that comes out.
There's going to be a subset. What I was getting at is there's going to be a subset
pornography?
Of pornography? Yes, and lonely guys putting in their crush.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
And making these adult movies starring the people that they fantasize about.
Right, people that they know.
Yes, people that they know.
And even this is the other thing. I mean, it's like the guy photoshopped in a bikini passed around the office, except it's going to be horrible. You know, some dude from your office killing somebody else from your office from a scene from Friday the 13th or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff.
It is.
Thank you, Ben. You've made it even darker than I had originally.
Wow, that's a treat.
Yeah.
You know, we are at that stage where you have to look at every piece of video with a skeptical eye, right? You can't always take everything at face value, and that's just going to get even weirder.
Yep. Reality is going away quickly.
Indeed.
Because reality is based, a lot of it is based on people agreeing about stuff.
Yeah.
And that agreement is rapidly deteriorating. Not that, I mean, obviously wars are being fought over religion all the time and all that, but wars could be fought over whether or not a piece of videotape is real now.
Yeah, that's,
which
I mean,
is crazy.
Somebody creates a video of Trump burning the Quran and all of a sudden, goodbye New York. You know, it's one of those things where the future is here, and the future is really, really scary.
Yeah. So the final piece of all of this is now on my phone, whenever somebody writes me something in Gmail, this isn't like the predictive text where Twitter you can like press the middle and it'll write a sentence eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it gives you suggestions of what to type next. Google actually gives you a thing that you can just touch, and it'll send the email. Like, it has a sentence that it thinks that you would want to say. And lots of times, the sentences are the things that I would say in response to that.
It you're not, like, selecting from a preset group of sentences. You are telling Google to reply on your behalf.
Like you could let Google reply to your behalf on your behalf.
Jeez,
you'd still have to select it and hit send. You're correct
right.
on that.
It lets you see it before it sends it. That's a good. At least there's that gatekeeping.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, cute kid! Exclamation point. Aw! Exclamation point.
There's a video that was submitted to the Sketchfest Film Challenge that sort of did that. It was a fake app, and it was something like, tired of talking to people via text, just want to be left alone. And it was basically an AI chat robot that replied to texts that were sent your way.
Yes.
But this video, I mean, the video took like a hilarious turn, but I can see that totally being like the norm in 10 to 15 years, where you are not texting with that person. You are texting, your people are texting with their people, and people are
right
AI
exactly
chat
your
robots.
Avatar is going to be yes,
and then all
that,
of a sudden
that
you,
is where
you,
we're headed.
All of a sudden you see a notice on your calendar saying you are scheduled to have dinner with this person at this time, and you're like, all right, I guess I'll show up.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Well, oh Ben, yeah. Think about it. Obviously, your date person and their date person,
right,
or your date avatar and their date avatar go on a whole bunch of simulated dates first.
That was, have you seen the latest season of Black Mirror?
No, I haven't.
There's an episode devoted entirely to that, to that concept.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'll have to. It's too funny also that that Matt Damon movie Downsizing.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Neither have I, but it's about a guy who shrinks himself to save resources or something like that. Do you remember
it's like the Incredible Shrinking Man plus Office Space?
A little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Turk Danger, the Turk Danger Society that me and my friend Chris were doing.
I remember you mentioning it, but I don't know what it was about.
So there was a thing that I wrote, and I still don't remember it. It was based on around that time, I think. Mark Sidran proposes to reduce Seattle's homeless population. But the idea was that he was going to shrink them.
Right, right.
So that they were smaller and easier to carry from place to place.
And cheaper to feed and house.
Exactly. Yes. I wonder if it might be around somewhere. I'll see if I can find it. But anyway, so I saw Downsizing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of my, a little bit, anyway, of my idea. And the idea is I was going to build off of it, but now that thing came out, I'm not going to. But it's a story about a guy who decides to shrink his family, he and his family, in order to save money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then he meets a rich big woman. And he decides to grow, but he only has enough money to grow himself, so he leaves his family small.
That's a terrible story.
It's a terrible story. That's what I'm saying. And it's true, Ben. That person was John F. Kennedy. And now you know the rest. I didn't watch any of the presidential stuff. Didn't watch the State of the Union, didn't watch the rebuttal, didn't watch the Bernie Sanders thing.
I
didn't watch any of it.
I haven't seen any of that either. I did start watching the day after. I started watching a clip on YouTube of Trevor Noah and The Daily Show there, because they did a live show like right afterwards. Uh-huh. And I turned it off after 5 minutes because I'm like, even though this is, The Daily Show and Trevor Noah is mostly my take on politics, I just don't want to listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I was
listening to NPR and they were playing clips and I turned it off. I'm like, it's gotten to that point.
Yeah. Yep. It's, I don't know. The good thing about politics is that eventually everyone's going to be dead.
Although there is one take.
What's that?
There's one take on what happened earlier this week from Seth Meyers, and he started off one of his shows saying, Donald Trump delivered his final State of the Union address last night, which got a huge applause from his audience.
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. We'll see how it goes. The thing I meant about everybody's going to be dead, I of course didn't mean that everyone now is going to be dead soon. What I meant was,
everybody dies eventually.
I was really thinking about this whole politics thing, and this is so bad now. And then I realized, I read some stuff about James K. Polk. And, you see Hamilton and all that kind of stuff. And politics have been bad for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, but it's never been this bad before. All my friends are arguing still over the election. And some people like this candidate, some people like that candidate. And then I realized, and I don't know why I had forgotten this, but I had, how much people were fighting in 2008 with Clinton versus Obama.
Yeah.
We had people, and I remember now, people who were at coffee shops with us, people on the bus, whatever, actually getting into the same sort of arguments that we see already. So I felt good about that in a bad sort of way, I guess. But yeah, we haven't all of a sudden lost, you know, our composure or whatever. It's been a little bit of a complainy, infighty sort of world for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess.
You know, you got to imagine that if the internet were around in the 1700s or 1800s, that it would have been, the culture would have been just as bad back then as it is now. I don't think it's gotten any worse.
Oh,
I think
sure.
It's just, you know, terrible because everybody knows everything now.
Oh, man, I went on a little bit of a rant about science. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't want to go off on a rant or nothing.
There's a term that somebody was throwing around. I'm not going to say who. It's not a friend of ours or anything. It's a personality. It says, facts don't care about your feelings.
I think I've seen that.
And my point or my rebuttal to this is that facts are human. Facts are not, people mistake facts for capital T truth, and they aren't. Facts are observations made by humans, made in languages that humans speak. Facts are very human, and therefore your feelings are a part of them.
And how did that go over?
Well, I explained it a little bit further. No one complained, I'll say that. But here's an example. Fact. It's bright outside, right? From a fact, you then make a hypothesis. Hypothesis, the sun's out. And then you test your hypothesis. You go outside, sun's out. Hey, look at that. We did a science. That's from a clip that I post, that I linked to. But my point was this. I say fact, the sun's out. However, you happen to live in a different time zone. Sun isn't out. You say, false. You're a liar. The sun isn't out. It's dark outside.
Well, you're talking about relational facts. What about facts? Spiders have eight legs.
My point is this. And I pull two legs off of a spider. Liar, this has six legs. You know, that sort of thing. The point is, when dealing with science stuff, right, there is a collaborative idea that if I say fact, it's bright outside, I, as the scientist reading the thing that the guy wrote, I'm not going to look out and say, well, it's not light outside, they're a liar. I'm going to assume that when he wrote it, it was bright outside. And if I'm going to do his experiment, I'm going to wait until it's bright outside. You know what I mean?
Facts rely on the human experience.
Say again?
Facts rely on the human experience.
Facts, not that they rely on the human experience, but facts are a way of communicating information. Right?
Yeah.
A way of describing observations that you make. Because you see something and then you say something. I know that. Terrorism. You see something and then you communicate that to people. That's kind of how facts work. And facts work only in one way. And that's that if everyone agrees that the facts are correct. And if you don't agree on your facts, you can't have a conversation. That's the problem.
So, fact, climate change is man-made.
See, that isn't a fact. That's a hypothesis. you got to start out with the fact.
But you'll see people. You'll see like pundits, and you'll see politicians, some politicians, and scientists say fact. 99 out of 100 scientists say climate change is man-made.
Now, that could be a fact. Yes. you know, we did a survey and the survey came back this. That is
survey
a fact.
Says
climate change is man-made, not a fact, but it's a hypothesis based on same sort of thing though. This is important. The climate is changing. Fact.
Right.
The climate is changing.
But you'll okay. So you, maybe that's what that's what I should have said before. Fact. The climate is changing. But you have other people saying, "Well, I don't think the climate's changing." Therefore,
and again,
I don't believe those.
You can,
you know, those aren't facts. That's an opinion.
And this is the thing that's great. That Neil deGrasse Tyson also under fire for being not cool with women. Why,
really?
Everybody? Yeah. True story.
Is that a fact?
But the thing I like is he goes, you can believe whatever you want to, but this is still a fact, right? That I like. Here's the problem. The thing I said before about how it's bright outside. No, it's not. That thing.
Yeah.
As a black man in America, I experience racism. No, you don't. That right there, same issue. The guy is relating a fact. And he could phrase it differently. As a black man in America, I have encountered situations that I would describe as racist. That is a fact. You can say that. But the other person says, no, you haven't. I don't think you have or whatever. Then you can't have a conversation.
Well, no.
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, there's that person saying, no, you haven't, is that person saying, I have not seen this happen.
Yes, exactly. That's right. The sun isn't out where I am. The sun is yeah. not out where I am. Same sort of thing. So what is all this leading to?
What is
the
all
fact
this
is
to, Paul?
That we try to be correct in our facts. Sometimes, however, we get things wrong. And on this show, when you get something wrong,
hey.
It's time for a little thing we call corrections. Ding.
Nice segue.
Okay, so Ben and I tried. Thanks. I was really working towards it. Ben and I attempt to do the show without using Google or any other sort of search engine. We try to get the facts, and oh, now I'm hypersensitive to facts. We try to get the facts straight from our head, as best as we can, because we made the observation that people think they're smart, but they really aren't. Lots of times, they are just good at searching for things, and so we try to keep it. We say keep it wrong because we know that we're not going to get things right all the time. We do our best, and when we get things wrong, our listeners correct us. We've been corrected by such luminaries as Stephen McCandless and Jose Amador, and the biggest amount of corrections usually come in by virtue of my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who yes. may or may not have sent corrections in this time.
She did. I think this is a virtue of our show, where we actually encourage people to fact check us and let us know when we get
yes.
stuff wrong. We are happy to correct ourselves, but also acknowledge the fact that we are dummies sometimes and
yes.
get things wrong. Not on purpose.
And Ben, if the people listening have a correction that they'd like to send in, how would they do that?
Well, they could send their correction in to bensemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com, and we'll read it live here, live on the air.
Yes.
And I'm stalling because I have to...
And we're not actually on the air anymore. I mean, we're in the wires, Ben.
We are in the wires.
Series of tubes.
All right. This is a
That's still funny.
Fly-by-wire podcast. Okay. So, number one. These are all from Jennifer.
Oh, yes.
And number one, Ben asks Paul if we have tons of sketchbooks around the house. Paul says, no, not really. And then she goes on to say, dude, they are everywhere. I find them in the bathroom, under the bed in our room, shoved into bookshelves, simply laying in the middle of the floor of the living room, in cabinets, in drawers, on top of the microwave, under the seats of the car, in the trunk of the car, everywhere. Is she right?
I guess, sort of, but I don't know if that counts as a lot, I guess, is my, like, I have trouble
maybe
finding
a lot for
one
her
sometimes.
Is not a lot for you.
That's the only thing I'll say, is sometimes I want to find one and I can't. Obviously, and I know this for a fact, my wife would say there probably is a piece of paper on top of it, which is why you can't find it. Which is another story altogether.
All right. So you do or do not have.
I acknowledge that I have downplayed the amount of sketchbooks that we have in this house.
Right. All right. We also talked about how Vine was a thing and then it wasn't, and what led to its demise. She says Vine was not killed by Vine stars wanting to make money. It was killed by Twitter acquiring it without any plan of how to use it. Then Instagram launched its 15-second video service. Then Snapchat launched its 10-second video service with the option to broadcast the video. I don't know what the broadcast part means. Both Instagram and Snapchat openly courted celebrities, while Vine just kind of sat there withering on the ... Oh, dear. So, yeah, she was about to make a joke.
I suppose that maybe the reason why my opinion of Vine stars killing Vine was tainted is because I'm friends with some Vine people on, like, people who weren't necessarily super popular but who turned out a lot of product, right? Like, they made a lot of different Vines.
Right.
And a lot of them were critical of the quote-unquote Vine stars. And apparently there was a meeting that they held, and at that meeting they attempted to do some things like that. That's where that came from. But I believe that Jennifer is more correct. You know what I mean? Like that's a... Like the idea... Okay, example. Amazon.com... closing the Seattle customer service department.
Oh, really?
Which happened. Oh, yeah, that happened. Like the big call center closure.
Is that where you work?
Which happened in. Yeah, that's where I worked. And I still work there because even though I worked at the call center, I was part of the intranet team. So they stayed. Around, oh my gosh. I mean, I used to work at a place that
I caught you.
Anyway, the big thing is that some of the employees were going to try to unionize and had meetings and stuff like that. And then the call centers closed. And people were like, oh, they closed the call centers because we were trying to unionize. And it's like, maybe, but also they had just acquired some other. They acquired some real estate in places where people would work for cheaper.
We acquired two small cities in India.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, no. And this is something I just to go off on a really quick tangent. When the customer service jobs left Seattle, they did not go to India, at least not directly. Eventually, maybe they ended up there, but for a while, they went to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and Huntington, West Virginia. In the United States, because different states have different levels of wages and stuff like that.
Right.
And both those places were much cheaper than Seattle.
I can imagine if they even had minimum wage laws, statewide minimum wage laws, they weren't any higher than the federal minimum wage.
True, true.
Which probably at that time was close to, what, $7?
Oh, I don't know. Something like it. Yeah, $7 or $8, I want to say.
I guess if you're living in a small town in West Virginia, like, $7 an hour isn't poverty.
No. Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just assuming everybody over there lives in a log cabin.
It's possible. I've driven through West Virginia before. It's pretty. It's beautiful sure country.
I love making fun of Appalachia, but I actually know some people who from there, and they're quality people.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. Yeah.
Some of my best friends are Appalachian.
It's a cool place. I believe West Virginia is where the Mothman Museum, West Virginia. Yeah, I think so.
The what museum?
The Mothman Museum.
The Mothman Museum.
Yep. I think it's West Virginia. Oh my gosh, I should know this. This is one of those bad ones.
All right, describe for me what the Mothman Museum is.
Mothman Museum. Okay, so there was a bridge collapse, which I believe happened in West Virginia. And prior to the bridge collapsing, there were some sightings of a humanoid figure with wings that people dubbed Mothman. Similar sightings have occurred now in Chicago in 2017.
Really?
But yeah, humanoid people. And usually they show up before a disaster. So Chernobyl, for instance, had some sightings of these folks.
Really?
Yeah. True story. Richard Gere was in a movie called The Mothman Prophecy.
Which was a disaster.
Based on this story. Anyway, the Mothman Museum is both a tribute to the people who died on the bridge.
Right.
A thing about sightings of the Mothman, the titular Mothman.
I can only imagine that if you were a family member of somebody who died on that bridge, you probably wouldn't want the memorial to be named after this supposed creature that prophesizes disasters around the globe.
Here's the thing. I think that the museum is based off the creature and also the memorial was added as well.
All right.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean,
there's a
memorial wing in the museum.
Well, the idea being, okay, hey, it's this crazy Mothman thing and oh boy. And then somebody with a little bit of a heart and stuff like that was like, well, you know, people also died.
Right.
Should probably do something to acknowledge that rather than just say, isn't Mothman creepy?
I mean, I'm just looking at it from like the Northwest perspective. And if there was a museum that was about the Mount St. Helens disaster and was a memorial for everybody who died in it, and let's say I had a family member who died in it, I wouldn't want the museum to be the Bigfoot Experience Museum.
Well, no, but I guess, and this is the this is the way I'd like you to think of it. This
don't
guy
tell me
wants
how to think, Paul.
I'm sorry. This guy has a Bigfoot museum. Okay, Bigfoot museum exists, and somebody points out, hey, you know, a lot of people died on this trail looking for Bigfoot, and so in the Bigfoot museum, which already exists, they add a memorial for the people who died on the trail. That's kind of the thing. It wasn't like the bridge disaster happened.
Right. It's not like...
And then they made the Mothman
It's not like
museum.
Somebody took like a random city's Vietnam memorial and rebranded it to match whatever folklore is popular in that area.
Exactly. But what I accidentally said, well, I said it on purpose, but what I didn't think about, I said it's not like the bridge collapsed and then they made a Mothman Museum. It's exactly what they did, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? Yeah, and your analogy was good.
Yeah.
So Moving on.
you have any big travel plans coming up?
Oh, so is that it? Are we done with corrections?
Oh yeah, we are done with corrections.
Oh,
just
well,
two.
There we go. That's I was saying moving on because I didn't want to take time away from.
Oh
talking
no,
about
I thought
Mothman.
I thought we already no, had moved on.
Yeah, we're going to
we're
see the Betty and I are going to see The Sound of Music. tomorrow.
Really?
In St. Louis. Yeah. That's the biggest travel plan that I have.
Well, the arches are alive with the sound of music.
Yeah. Yes, indeed they are. Also, I wanted to say, Jennifer found Bob Jordan and I talked to him for a while this week.
Right. Last week you mentioned that his contact had been made, but no communication.
Yeah. So I called him, talked to him for a while.
Wow.
He's a really, he's a very interesting guy. I don't know if he's going to want to do the show or not, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. The joke that he told, I got him to tell it to me, and I could be getting it wrong, but it goes like this. What do you get when you cross a whale with an Irish setter?
What do you get when you cross a whale with an Irish setter?
Yes.
Well, what do you get?
I don't know, but it won't stop whistling Mary McCree. That's that's it. And I may have gotten the song name wrong too, but it's a good joke, I think.
If you like that kind of joke.
Your mileage may vary. And speaking of your mileage varying, hey Betty!
Oh God.
Betty. So as you've noticed, Betty is getting more and more impatient with us not talking to her when it's shouting for Betty time. I don't know what to do about it.
I can't tell that at all because I'm not over there seeing what she looks like.
Look, here she is. No, but she'll actually say,
her
are you guys just done talking to me now? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hi.
I was talking about how you get a little bit impatient if we don't actually talk to you when it's yelling for Betty time. She's booping me in the nose right now. Betty has a great new haircut, which nobody gets to see because she doesn't want me to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
What's that?
The 11S, I hear.
Yes, exactly. The 11S haircut, which, it's so good, though. She's pressing her face into the microphone now.
I do that all the time.
Is it soft? Is that what's happening here? Oh, she gave me a little kiss. That is nice. All right, so it looks like we maybe are wrapping up this episode.
Are you sleepy? Bye.
Oh, my God. That's it? Really?
Well, I mean, you said that it was it.
Gosh, this is what I'm talking about. So, Ben.
Yes, Paul.
Betty has a problem, and the problem is that adults yell sometimes.
Adults yell a lot.
Would you say that's correct?
Yeah,
Betty?
I would say that is correct.
Yeah, adults yell sometimes.
But like adults who are educational professionals sometimes yell. And here's the thing, Betty, I hope you don't mind me mentioning this. Betty's school is embroiled in a war between rumors and snitches. The adults don't want there to be any rumors.
Right.
And the kids don't want there to be any snitches. And I'm just interested because both of these two things, right?
Yeah.
Both these two things involve talking when people don't want you to talk, basically.
That's basically
everybody
what school
is saying,
telling you when
up,
not to
basically.
Talk.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, hey, don't talk about events that are happening, or not happening, rather. And also, hey, don't talk about events that have happened. It's kind of weird.
Yep.
Betty, could you describe to me what snitching is?
It's, well, to me, can I hold
yeah,
on
of course.
Quarter? To me, it's when somebody says, oh, this guy did this thing without it actually being that bad. I mean, like, you could say, oh, Billy dropped his pencil on the ground. He should get a detention. But he actually shouldn't because it's just a pencil. That's what I think snitching is.
Okay.
Whereas if somebody stabs somebody in prison and you say, I know who stabbed the guy, it was this guy, would that be considered snitching?
No.
Okay.
Because it's a serious deal.
All right. So a serious deal isn't snitching, or reporting on a serious deal isn't necessarily snitching.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is a rumor?
A rumor is what, oh, did you hear? Billy's gonna do this, or did you hear? Billy did this. But it was actually more widespread than, oh, hey, Billy beat up a kid, telling the teacher, hey, Billy beat up a kid. But it's more like, hey, did you hear? I remember this one kid saying that she saw Billy beat up a kid. Oh my gosh, is that actually true? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
When Billy actually didn't beat up the kid.
So a degree of separation.
Yeah.
So snitching, really, you saw something happen usually. And rumor, you didn't hear something happen, you just heard something happening. Are you done? Is that it?
Yes. Snitching.
She's putting a pillow over her face.
Snitching. Betty's definition of snitching sounds like it's dependent upon the order of magnitude of the crime.
And yes.
I'm done.
All right. See you, Betty. So you heard it here first, Ben.
I'm bored.
This Billy kid really got involved in a whole bunch of stuff.
And Billy needs to be taken to the principal's
Billy
office.
Oh man. So. It looks like the only other thing is to say hello to the cat. Hello, cat. I don't know if you can hear it.
I've been installing High Sierra on this laptop throughout the entire show, and which has been an hour now. And I've done that thing where I put the mouse pointer at the edge of the progress bar to see if it's going any further.
Uh huh.
Does not appear to be moving. And I don't.
What is High Sierra?
High Sierra is 10.12? 10.30? I have no idea.
Wait a second. Apple?
Yeah, it's
an operating system?
Yeah, it's a Mac OS.
It's not named after an animal?
Where have you been for the last couple years? They name them out of mountains now.
My wife is a PC person.
Oh.
And I know. PC just stands for personal computer. It could refer to a Mac as the operating system. So anyhow, I think I'm going to try to get the cat to talk. I don't know if it worked. Hey, cat, can you say something? Can you say anything? You want to say something?
Probably not.
Anything? Nope, doesn't look
cats,
like it.
Cats okay. Don't like to be told what to do.
They really don't. Although she wants to get pets from me. So that's something that is happening. All right, Ben. Well, it looks like we're done.
It does look like we're done. It's good talking to you, Paul.
It's really good talking to you, Ben. And I hope that you and your family keep it wrong.
As always, keep it wrong.
Thanks, Ben.
Talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later.
Yep.